Chapter 15. Happy Hamster Day! In December, things in room 26 really began to change. For one thing, it got cold outside and a little chilly by my window. And in the early morning, frost pictures would appear on the glass. One picture looked like a big snowflake and another looked like a lion. Scary. Still, it was nice and cozy in my sleeping house. More snowflakes appeared. Not real ones, but cut-out paper snowflakes, bordering all the chalkboards. And there were snowmen made out of fluffy cotton and pictures of candles and packages and sleighs. The holidays were almost here. Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. There were songs to be sung and presents to be wrapped and big two-week vacation to come. The weekend after Thanksgiving break, I went home with Pay Attention Art. He paid a lot of attention to me, but sometimes not every night during the week. Mrs. Brisbane would take me home to see Mr. Brisbane, and he'd put me up on his obstacle course, and we'd laugh and squeak and have a wonderful time. The next weekend, I stayed at Gail Morgenstern's house. Friday night was really nice because she convinced her mom to let me watch while she lit the menorah for the family, and the food was yummy. I was glad that Mrs. Brisbane didn't take me home every night. For one thing, if I ran the obstacle course every night, I'd probably waste away to nothing. For another thing, I wouldn't have been able to see Aldo. Aldo could now balance the broom on his head. Yep, he'd put the tip of the broomstick on top of his head and keep it up there a while. He'd have to bob and weave to keep it balanced, and he made funny faces, too. But one night during the week, Aldo pulled his chair up close to my cage and said, "Humphrey, old pal, I've got something to discuss." This sounded serious, so I put on my most serious problem-solving face. "I'm thinking of getting Maria a ring for Christmas. You know, like an engagement ring with something shiny in it. I know we haven't known each other very long, and we wouldn't have to get married right away. On the other hand, I'm no spring chicken, and I'd like to settle down and raise a couple of kids and maybe a couple of hamsters, too, you know?" "I understand," I squeaked softly. "So what do you think?" Aldo fixed his big brown eyes on me. "Should I ask her to marry me?" I stood up on my hind legs and screeched, "Do it! Do it! Do it!" And then he stood up and shouted, "You're right! I will! I'd be crazy not to!" And he raced out of the room so fast he forgot his cleaning cart. But when he returned for it, he yelled, "Thanks." Sometimes, most times, it pays to squeak up. The third weekend after Thanksgiving, I spent at Heidi Hopper's house and watched her family put up their Christmas tree. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen, second only to the little tree Heidi put in my cage. It was made of my favorite treat, broccoli. And then, it was almost a holiday vacation. Suddenly, it seemed as if we didn't have quite as much work to do in class. Everybody was planning the holiday party for the last day of school. One day, Garth, who never used to wait for the bell, stayed after school to ask Mrs. Brisbane a question. "May I please bring Humphrey home with me over the holidays?" he asked. Mrs. Brisbane looked as surprised as I was. "Well, Garth, I thought that was a problem." Garth smiled broadly. "My mom is much better now, and Dad says it's okay to bring Humphrey home." Mrs. Brisbane smiled back. "That is wonderful news, but I think 2 weeks might be a little much. How about the first weekend in January?" Garth nodded, but he looked disappointed. "Tell you what, why don't you have your parents bring you by our house to see Humphrey over the holidays? You can watch him run his obstacle course." Garth didn't look disappointed anymore. And on the last day of school, everybody was very dressed up. I had on my fur coat as usual, and Mrs. Brisbane wore a red and green striped sweater and a green skirt. She also wore a Santa Claus hat. This was an entirely new Mrs. Brisbane, the dressing up Mrs. Brisbane. "Class, I have an important announcement. We're having a surprise visitor this morning before your party, so there'll be no vocabulary test today." After the cheers died down, Mrs. Brisbane went out into the hall and waved, and a minute later, You'll never guess who entered the classroom. Mr. Bert Brisbane. He was wearing a Santa Claus hat, too, and he looked a lot better now. No gray stubble or wrinkled pajamas. On his lap, he had a large box. And Mrs. Brisbane introduced him to the class, and they all applauded. And then he told them that his surprise was actually for me. First, he pulled out something like my cage, only bigger. This is my gift to Humphrey. This extension attaches to his cage and makes it bigger. And now you're all going to help me build Humphrey his holiday present, his very own playground. The kids squealed and giggled and clapped, and I couldn't hold back a big squeal of my own. I could keep my homey cage with its lock that doesn't lock, but I'd also have my own park to play in. Mr. Brisbane gathered my classmates around the big table and explained his plans. Mrs. Brisbane unloaded the pieces. First there was a seesaw and then a tree branch to swing from, and a big jungle gym and two ladders, one to climb and one to walk across like my bridge. My! Saya held me while the other kids worked on my cage, and she patted me gently and murmured comforting words. Meanwhile, Mr. Brisbane patiently instructed the children as they arranged the pieces, and he even made sure everyone got a turn. Then Mr. Morales dropped by to see how things were going. He was wearing a tie that had little Christmas lights that really lit up. He and Mrs. Brisbane stood behind the children, watching as my playground took shape. Looks like Bert should be a teacher too, the principal told Mrs. Brisbane. He already is, I heard Mrs. Brisbane respond. He just started teaching arts and crafts to seniors and kids at the community center. So he's made a new start, said the principal. Thanks to Humphrey. I believe those words were the best present I could ever have. Guess what I got my kids for Christmas, the principal asked. A hamster. Maybe it's a present for me as well. I think my papa would enjoy it too. When Saya put me back in the cage, everyone watched as I raced to my new playground and climbed the jungle gym and made a leap to the tree branch and jumped over the seesaw. Now, I could have recess any time I wanted. Whoopee! And just then, the room mothers arrived with cupcakes and juice. While they passed the food out, Saya and Miranda slipped quietly out of the room. A little while later, Mrs. Brisbane announced that she had another surprise, gifts for the class. And the door opened, and in came Miranda and Saya, wearing red dresses trimmed in white fur, not real fur like mine, and white fur hats. They each had a basket filled with small presents, and they danced around the room singing a song about the wonders of winter while they passed the gifts out. And when the kids opened their packages, they each found a keychain with a small furry toy hamster attached. The hamsters came in all colors, red, green, purple, gold, silver. Nice. The room mothers presented Mrs. Brisbane with a gift, a pair of red earrings, which she put on right away. I already thought it was the perfect day, but it wasn't really quite perfect until Mr. Morales peeked out into the hall and announced that he had a big surprise. I wasn't sure what we could stand many more surprises. And then she walked in. The biggest surprise I could imagine. Miss Mac was back. She was wearing a long flowered skirt and a bright red blouse, and she had a butterfly in her hair. Not a real one, of course. And she also had a huge canvas bag with her. Remember me? She asked with a huge smile. My classmates were thrilled, and they all rushed to her side. I was so surprised, I was positively squeakless. Mrs. Brisbane made everyone sit down again and asked Miss Mac, of course she insisted on calling her Miss McNamara, about her travels. Miss Mac told us about the rainforest and teaching in a school in Brazil, and then she opened her big bag and took out a stack of holiday cards. Her Brazilian students had made a card for each child in room 26. While my classmates were sharing their cards with one another, Miss Mac came over to see me at last. Well, I can see by your cage that you've done very well for yourself, she said with a smile. And here I thought you'd be pining away from me. I have, I squeaked. And she reached into her big bag. And I have a present for you, but don't tell anybody. And she pulled out a brand new tiny notebook with blank pages, lots of them, and a new tiny pencil with very sharp point. I thought you might need this, and then she tucked it behind my mirror. Miss Mac stared at me a little longer and then softly said, I've seen a lot of creatures in a lot of places in the last few months, but you're still the handsomest and smartest of all. Yes, yes, yes. And don't worry, I'll be back to see you again. And she was still the same wonderful Miss Mac. I'd follow her to the ends of the earth, I thought, or at least to Brazil. But then it hit me. As much as I love her, and she loves me, Miss Mac doesn't need me. Not as much as the Brisbanes and my classmates and their families do. Maybe that's what Miss Mac was thinking when she left me in room 26. This is where I belong. All too soon, the bell rang. School was over for the day. School was over for the rest of the year, and my head was reeling from all the surprises and excitement as we headed out to the car. In the parking lot, Aldo raced over to greet us and wish us happy holidays, and he came to pick Richie up. I hope you have a very happy holiday, too, Mrs. Brisbane told Aldo. Aldo grinned until his huge mustache shook like Santa's tummy. I'm sure I will. You see, I just got engaged. I'm going to get married. Yahoo! I squeaked with delight, and Aldo leaned toward me. Thanks, my friend. That night at the Brisbane's house, there was one more surprise. The doorbell rang, and a very tall and good-looking young man appeared. He was wearing a Santa Claus hat, but he wasn't Santa. He was Jason, the Brisbane's son. He'd come all the way from Tokyo to surprise his parents. They were so happy to see him, they both cried just a little. I almost cried, too. Soon the house was filled with friends and neighbors, and Mrs. Brisbane played piano while everyone sang carols and drank hot cider. I nibbled on my raw apple and squeaked along. Later that night, when the house was quiet, I thought about all I'd done in the months since I had left Petorama. I didn't know anything about the world then, but I've sure learned a lot. I can read and write, and I know all of the state capitals. Just ask me one. I learned you should never, ever turn your back on a dog, and that it's a good idea to turn off the TV once in a while. I found out kids have problems, and so do teachers and principals, and sometimes all people need is a little encouragement. Most of all, I learned that one small hamster really can make a difference. I decided to write down some of the things I've learned from my adventures, but there was just one more line left in my first notebook. So I thought and thought, and then I scribbled down exactly what I was feeling deep in my hamster heart. Joy, joy, joy to the whole wide world, and that includes you. From Humphrey. That was a terrific book. I hope you enjoyed The World According to Humphrey, part 1, 2, and 3. And I hope that there are any other Humphrey books that you'll pick some of them out and go ahead and read them. And I want to read, if you want to stick with me, Humphrey's Guide to the Care and Feeding of Humans. Number 1, like hamsters, humans come in many, many sizes, shapes, colors, talents, and tempers. If you judge them by looks alone, you'll miss out on knowing some wonderful people. Number 2, humans like to be entertained, and it doesn't take much to entertain them. Just squeak or swing or spin. They'll love it. Number 3, humans are pretty entertaining themselves. They can sing, dance, tell jokes, and balance brooms. Number 4, all humans really, really, really need someone to listen to their problems. Preferably someone small and furry. Number 5. Even really important humans, like principals, have problems and need help. Number 6. Rubber bands hurt. Do not shoot rubber bands at one another, unless it's absolutely the only weapon you have against a creature much bigger than you. Number 7. Humans are not very good at figuring out technical things like how to fix a broken lock. Number 8. Humans have unlimited access to all kinds of yummy foods, so be nice to them. Number 9. If you are nice to humans, they will be nice to you. So nice that they might even build you a playground. And number 10. Humans have good memories. Even if they go far away to teach in another country, they will not forget you. And believe me, you won't forget them either. Most importantly, remember, you can learn a lot about yourself by getting to know another species, even humans. Oh, wonderful. Let me read you this. This is from the author of the book, Betty Burney. Wonderful writer. Dear reader, while writing this book, I did a lot of research on hamsters and I spent time admiring the cute creatures at my neighborhood pet shop. I wish I could say I have a hamster, but in truth, I do not. I truly love all animals, dogs, cats, ducks, goats, turtles, and birds. But I happen to own a dog who is quite the hunter. Not only would she be heartbroken if I adopted a hamster, but I think the tension level at home would be quite high. That's one reason I included a chapter where Humphrey must daringly outwit that unspeakably rude dog, Clem. Even without a hamster, I feel as if I am Humphrey because he's so much like me. First, he's an observer, which is a key quality for a writer. I didn't sit in a cage in elementary school, but I was always watching and trying to figure out what made everybody in the classroom tick, from the teachers to the students to the custodian. I hated to have to stay home when I was sick because I was afraid I'd miss out on something interesting. Second, Humphrey is caring and kind and believes in justice. I, a mere human, may not come close to Humphrey's level of compassion, but I'll never stop trying. Third, Humphrey is enthusiastic about life and learning and the great big world and how much there is to discover about it. I get excited just thinking about his thirst for knowledge. And sometimes, when I'm excited, I repeat things 3 times, but only about things I really, really, really care about, like stopping people who bully other people or being able to point out the state you live in a map or learning how to spell. However, I am not nocturnal. I am definitely a morning person. Knowing Humphrey, I think he would forgive me. I love to hear the stories about your entertaining hamsters. You can email me at betty@bettyburney.com or visit me online at www.bettyburney.com. Sincerely, Humphrey's friend, Betty G. Burney. And that's how she spells her name. And I'll leave this up here for you just a little bit. Betty@bettyburney.com. Fun, fun, fun. So there are lots of other books. Until we read together again next time, boys and girls. Bye-bye.